Welcome to Step Into Magic, your weekly online radio show on how to develop your psychic ability, deepen your spirituality, and find your own true purpose. Presented by acclaimed medical intuitive, Josephine Lang. This broadcast is a part of the Wisdom and Intuition Network at metaphysicalwisdom.com. This is Anthony Taylor, your host, and on behalf of Josephine, I'll be taking your calls and questions. This week's topic is building the life we love, using psychic skills at work and home. For those of you who are new to our show, Josephine has been a clairvoyant healer for more than 25 years. During that time, she's helped thousands of people from around the world to heal from hard-to-diagnose and chronic health issues. She has also been a teacher and spiritual mentor for hundreds of people who treasure her insights, courage, and love.
Hello, everyone. Knowing how much my psychic ability has helped me in my day-to-day decisions, I am naturally very eager for all of us to be able to use our psychic ability to help us, both at work and at home. But before I go into this topic any further, I always like to begin our show with a spiritual agreement. And this was a gift from my mentor and teacher and dear friend, Jana Massey. And it goes like this, and I ask you all to make this agreement with me, if you will. Together, we acknowledge that everything that we think, that we say, and that we do at this time will be of the highest good. And together we ask for truth, the understanding of that truth, and the wisdom to use it in our lives. Can you all agree?
I do.
Thank you, Tony.
Josephine, we had two really interesting messages this past week about overriding psychic impulses from our friend Elizabeth. The first message is as follows. Speaking of psychic ability, before I left for your house the other day for Tony's Alexander class, I had a thought. Call Josephine and let her know you're on your way, since it's after 3 p.m. I didn't. While driving, the thought came that the class may not be happening. Again, I thought, pull over and call over there and say you're on your way. I put it all down with, well, if the class isn't happening, I'll still be able to deliver the anniversary gift. Now, that was very perceptive of Elizabeth, because actually I wasn't there, because I'd scheduled the class for earlier in the day. Anyway, Elizabeth goes on to say, as you know, that's how it happens. The sky doesn't open up, strange voice doesn't speak. It's a thought that speaks to you no differently than any other, though for most at the beginning, it's the still, small voice. At this point in my journey, the thoughts are pretty clear for me, but I still find myself ignoring it on occasion. And that's the end of the first example. And her second message about overriding a psychic impulse goes as follows. The first time I learned within about the little voice was years ago in San Francisco, maybe a year or less after my Kundalini opening. A friend came to visit from Utah, and though she wasn't a regular walker, she decided to join me in one of my walks. I'm packing a little fanny pack to take and find myself in front of the bathroom closet to get a Band-Aid. This wasn't even a thought, just meandered over there to get it. When I realized what I was doing, I thought, what am I getting a Band-Aid for? I don't get blisters when I walk, and I put the Band-Aid back. About 10 minutes into our walk, my friend, who was wearing non-walking shoes, said she felt like she was getting a blister. Could we stop at the Safeway away up and get her some Band-Aids? The lesson is to listen and not assume why we're following through. I overrode the little voice, or in this case, whatever took me to the bathroom, because I wouldn't need a Band-Aid. I never thought about whether my friend would. Isn't that interesting, Josephine? These are really telling examples of what we so often do.
They sure are. And that's exactly right. And thank you so much, Elizabeth, for writing in about this. That was so well said. I just loved it. You know, so often we disregard our guidance from spirit, which can even sometimes be life-saving, as was the case with me in that bad injury in the car accident that I had in the 90s. Which I could have avoided if only I'd paid attention to that little small voice you're referring to. It said to me very neutrally and compassionately, pull over and let this one pass. You know, how much more gentle it would have been for me if I had listened in the first place. So with that, Tony, perhaps you can show our first slide. Thank you so much. This is a wonderful quote from Albert Einstein. He comes up with some of the best things to say and to share. This one says, "The intuitive mind is a sacred gift, and the rational mind is the faithful servant. We have created a society that honors the servant and has forgotten the gift." Isn't that great?
Yeah, he's so profound. He's always spot on.
Right, just exactly spot on. So now, on to our topic of the day. And this is about psychics, using our psychic ability, both at home and in the workplace. So some typical careers in psychic ability would, of course, be doing psychic readings. And there's that very famous psychic, John Edward, who is a best-selling author and had a four-year run of a TV show called Crossing Over. And he does communicating with the dead. That's another example of a psychic career. But then we have some that are where we are using our psychic ability, and they're not really that common of what we would think of as a psychic career. And some excellent examples of that are in that book that I mentioned last week as well, The Science of Premonitions by Larry Dossey and MD. And in that book, he speaks about some different examples. He gives different examples of various colleagues of his, medical doctors and interns and things, who had very profound psychic flashes about their patients and about procedures that they should do or not do accordingly that turned out to be accurate. And I think that we do use our psychic ability in the workplace a lot more than our culture is willing to admit just yet. And his book is an excellent example of that. Then as well, there's the lovely and beautiful Judith Orloff, who wrote her book, Second Sight. And this is one of my favorite books. I really enjoyed reading this. She's a psychiatrist and also a clairvoyant. And she had to diminish her clairvoyant skills while she was going through medical school. But she found that at one point a patient was seriously, I believe a patient died because she didn't follow through with her intuitive hunch. And she tells the story in her book. And from then on, she thought, that's just not going to do. I'm going to pay attention to my intuitive hunches from now on. And so she did, and she began to become known as being a clairvoyant psychiatrist and, of course, became very famous and quite able to assist her patients because of it. Another example of somebody who works in a psychic capacity in a way is Roger Woolger, Woolger, who wrote that book, Other Lives, Other Selves. And he's a Jungian psychotherapist who helps people to discover their own past lives. And, of course, the way he did that was by doing that journey himself, which is very much a psychic skill. It's opening the veil between the worlds to allow us to perceive more about who we truly are. So his book is another excellent one that I like to recommend people to pick up. Then as well, there was that very famous natural healer, Edgar Cayce, who was known as the Sleeping Prophet. And he was doing his work back earlier in the last century, around the 1940s, I think it was. And his clients would enter into the room while he would be asleep on the couch, or he would shortly thereafter lie down and take a nap. And while he was in that napping state, he would get information about what would help them with their health and healing. So they would, you know, be sitting there, and there would be a scribe, somebody who had ushered them in, a receptionist, as it were, and he would tell them, well, you need to, you know, use a castor oil plaster over the liver, or maybe take these herbs, or drink this particular solution of whatever healing, you know, thing might have come up for him, for that person. And then they would go ahead and do that and get well. So he became very well known as well, Edgar Cayce, Sleeping Prophet. Then I heard a talk on New Dimensions Public Radio some years back with Michael Toms before he passed away. And I think he was interviewing Judith Orloff at the time. And he said how wonderful it would be if we could have intuitives in the newsroom to sort of help us to understand some of the far-reaching implications or of a particular news item, or maybe to reassure us that things were not so bad after all, or just to give us some insights and some clarity. He felt that it would be a big help for people in the world if we could use our intuitive skills more freely. So maybe you can show our next slide, Tony, then.
Certainly.
Now, this is a quote by someone who used his intuition quite a lot very successfully, Steve Jobs. He said, "Don't let the noise of others' opinions drown out your own inner voice. And most important, have the courage to follow your heart and intuition."
That's a very powerful quote.
It is, isn't it? From a very powerful person who's brought a lot of change to our world.
Well, it seems to me, Josephine, that there is quite a change regarding public perceptions about, you know, psychics and psychic ability and psychic phenomena in the mainstream media, at least. I mean, I'm thinking that Chloe and I used to watch a program on the TV, which I'm sure many of our listeners watched, called Medium, which was about the real-life medium, Alison Dufar, played by Patricia Arquette. And then a few years ago, I remember watching The Mentalist, which featured a former psychic, Patrick Jane, played by Simon Baker. And in the program, he teams up with Christina Fry, played by Leslie Hope, who's actually a genuine psychic, and they solve murder cases together. So, yeah, so I see it that, I don't know, I think public opinion is changing about psychics and psychic ability.
Yes, and isn't that wonderful? Because we can really use psychics in the workplace to great benefit to us all. One of my mentors, who I studied at Esalen years and years ago, Anne Armstrong, she did some police work where she would help the local authorities in her area in Northern California solve crimes and find missing persons and that sort of thing. And it came across my attention also some years ago that the CIA has a pretty hefty budget. I think in the early 90s, I remember looking it up, and there was something like $13 million spent a year for remote viewing, for training psychics and working with psychics to help find missile silos and that sort of thing. That movie also, too, that came out pretty recently, The Men Who Stare at Goats, that stars Ewan McGregor and George Clooney, about having psychic ability in the military. I think Kevin Spacey was also starring in that.
No, I've not seen that one.
Oh, yeah, and Jeff Bridges also. Mm-hmm. It was about, you know, this military division that was underway for some time that was about embracing these more spiritual values as a means to create better peace in the world. They were more of a peace force than they were a defense a force. It was quite intriguing. It's a good movie. I recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
Then also there was that movie that I really liked a lot called Hearts in Atlantis.
Oh, I have seen that one, yes, with Anthony Hopkins.
Yes, yes, and they were trying to enlist psychics into the government. Quite an intriguing idea, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if that has been the case, though I don't know of that personally. Then also, too, there was ER, that one character in ER, the TV show that was played by Terry Garr. Do you remember that one?
No, I never really watched ER.
Yeah, I don't think I watched it either, but I did catch one episode where she was playing this one patient who displayed clairvoyant abilities and helped to save some lives and prevent some medical errors, that sort of thing. It's really great. And I understand that her character was very popular with the viewers that were regular watchers. They were like, oh, when is she going to come back on? We love that character. You know, she saved that person's leg or whatever. That's pretty good. And then, you know, my mom used intuition very much around our house. As I've shared in previous shows, she was a premonition dreamer, and she really listened to her inner voice, and it often came through very strongly for her. And there was an instance when I was quite a young person, I think I was only 6 or 7, where I got a very, very bad ear infection. And she knew that if she was to go the medical route, there was a good chance that I might have a permanently altered anatomy in my ear. They may have to do a surgery or something else because I got a very, very roaring infection in my ear. And my father was very concerned about it. He was much more in alignment with going with the medical procedures and wanted me to get on antibiotics and that sort of thing. But my mother knew that that would affect the flora, my internal healthy bacteria that I have, you know, in my, that we all have in our gut tract, for life. And so she didn't want me to go on antibiotics. And so she sat by my bedside and stayed with me and watched as my fevers rose to try to help overcome the infection that I had gotten, and you know, used cool cloths or a cooling bath if needed to not have the fever go too high, but yet to allow the fever to do its natural work, which is to kill viruses and bacteria in the body. And I healed perfectly from that event. It was quite a dramatic event, but she knew I would be well, and I, as a young person, could latch on to her confidence as my mother and knew that I would be well, and we just waited it out. And it was painful, and it lasted several days, but I did heal completely with my eardrum intact and all of my structures in place. And I have perfect hearing to this day, so that was a really wonderful outcome. And yes, it could be argued that it could have gone another way, but I think that our intention and our emotional feelings have a lot to do with our healing capacity and with the creation of our whole world, in fact. So just confidence in her knowing, let me have that confidence in knowing, and together we co-created the outcome, which was a perfect outcome.
Excellent. You know, I have a little story about our father's intuition.
Good.
This one happened, must have been about 7 years ago. Chloe, Leif, and I were in England, and Leif was only 10, and we were due to fly back to California. And the night before, he said he had a tummy ache, so we took him to the doctor, and the doctor said, oh, it's just a little bug or something, he's fine to fly. And so in the morning, we got up to go to the airport, and as we were getting ready, I asked, and he said, you know, I've still got this little tummy ache. And I thought, well, it's not really ideal to get on a plane so far with a tummy ache. So I got in the car and quickly drove to the airport, which is only a few miles away, and asked them, could we change the flight to another day, maybe tomorrow or something? And they said, no, they were non-transferable, non-refundable flights. If we didn't fly, we'd just lose them. So this was, you know, being like, you know, several thousand dollars. So I went home thinking, you know, well, we just have to get this flight. The doctor says it's fine. And I said, how is it now? And he said, oh, it's still bothering me. And then I just suddenly had this thought, no, let's just not go. I don't know where it came from. So I just thought, okay, let's just not go. Anyway, he seemed to be, within a few minutes, much better. And I thought, oh, there you go. He just didn't want to get on the plane. So we got in the car. We thought, well, he didn't see much of one of his grandmothers whilst we were in England, so let's go and see her. And then on the way, it started hurting again. So we called in and we saw a doctor, and the doctor said, well, there's a slight chance it could be appendicitis, but I think he's just got a little bug. I don't think he has. So we got back in the car, and then I suddenly had this feeling, this is definitely appendicitis. I don't have any doubt about it at all. So I got on the internet and I looked for the nearest children's hospital, because I thought, if he's going to have surgery, it's much better to be, you know, in a specialist pediatric environment rather than in a unit for adults. And the nearest one was in Brighton, so we just 50 miles away. So we just drove there, checked him in, and the nurse examined him and said, well, I'm not sure what's wrong. We'll get a doctor. Dr. Kane said, well, it's hard to say what it is. Perhaps we should keep him in overnight. And about 24 hours later, a consultant doctor said, yeah, it's definitely appendicitis. And we had to have an operation to have it removed and things.
Wow.
But during that, there were a couple of times. The first thing was the sudden feeling, no, let's not get on the plane.
Yeah.
And then later, this conviction, that's definitely what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure that some of our listeners have experiences like that too. I think especially when we're parents, we get very strong knowings about our children's health.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps some of you remember some of those experiences yourself. They're really something, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
They come through so strong. There's another book that I wanted to mention, which is called All Women Are Healers. It's a comprehensive guide to natural healing by Diane Stein. And in it, she talks about freeing our intuition and using that hands-on approach, that laying on of hands, to channel that universal energy through. And it reminded me that really so many of us who have jobs doing natural healing therapies like massage or Reiki, that is a beautiful example of using our psychic ability and our inspiration. Some people have these hands that are just warm to the touch, that can just go and will know where to go on the body. And the person, the client that they're working on will just say, oh, yeah, that feels so good. Oh, right there. How did you know? Well, because we're just trusting their hands. It's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and years ago, I had this wonderful experience of working with Dr. Otto here in San Luis Obispo. He was a natural healer, a chiropractor. And this is how I got started in my career as a medical intuitive. He realized that I had some psychic abilities, and he thought, wow, that's a pretty nice thing, a bonus to be able to utilize. And though he was able to work on all of his patients just fine without my help, every once in a while he would get a patient during the course of a given day that was a little difficult or a little tricky. And he liked to do everybody in 15 minutes. So you'd come in, you know, change into your gown, go into the room, and then he'd pop in, get started, get to work, and then leave within 15 minutes or so to get on to the next person. And that way he was able to do a lot of people during the course of a given day. And if he had somebody that was a little difficult to work on in that 15 minutes time, he would just say, you know what, let me consult with a colleague on this and come back on Friday and, you know, come in the morning or something. And so then he would call me in on the day before or so and say, Chelsea, what do you think's going on with this person? And I would be able to just psychically say, well, I think it's something this, maybe it's a salt imbalance, or maybe it's a problem with the mineral absorption in the body, or maybe this person doesn't have enough fat in the diet, or whatever it was. There were a lot of people at the time who were doing that fat-free diet idea that had kind of ran around through in the 90s and in the early 2000s. And so we would just come up with these answers, and then the person would come back in, and he'd go ahead and work with them and come up with all of the solutions right there with that person, not without me even in the room, just, you know, working on his own. And that was one of the ways that he utilized me as a psychic in the workplace. And it was wonderful, and I loved it. Nothing made me happier than to go into work. And I thought it was so great that he would refer to me as a colleague. It was really nice. Yeah, and during that time while I was working with Dr. Rado, I really began to manifest my protocol that I use for my work. And that was a step-by-step procedure that I learned and developed over the many years that I was working with Dr. Rado, just a way to keep myself safe and how to be sure that my work was in accordance with the highest good. And I think that this is a really important thing for us to do with working psychics. And if you're thinking of being a working psychic, I'm sure that you have already begun something like this yourself. And if you haven't, it's a good idea to go ahead and work on this sort of thing. So one of the things that I began to realize was that I couldn't serve everybody. Every once in a while there would be somebody who, for some, whatever reason, I wasn't supposed to work on them. Perhaps it was in conflict with their religious beliefs, or maybe it was too close to my own body structure or type, or for whatever reason it might have been, I was not allowed. And sometimes when that would happen, I would get like a little sense of white noise, like on a TV station that is not working or something. It's just like white sound. And so I just learned how to let those go. And what I would do is, when I was working with Dr. Otto, is I would just say, look, you can go ahead and do your muscle testing with me, but I'm not supposed to be the surrogate for that person. And then I learned how to ask several questions when I was working on my own over the telephone as a psychic by myself, was to ask using a yes and no response from within my body. I would ask if this is in God's will, or if this is in the highest good for all, or if this is in the highest good for you, or if this is in the highest good for me. And by asking those questions and getting that yes feeling to all of those, I would know that I could go ahead with that person. And also if it was in accordance with my true purpose, and if it was mine to do, and if this was the right time to do it. Any number of ways to sort of look at how was a good way to proceed.
So Josephine, just to stop you just briefly, is that something then that you could apply or we could apply to every aspect of our life?
I think so indeed, yes. So, you know, if there was a conflict between two people, you could ask, well, what feels right to you and what feels right to me? And then what's in the highest good for all? And you could ask within to get answers to all of those, to try to find, you know, is there a way that we can find that we can work this out together? Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we can use it in a day-to-day life type situation in our families or in our homes. And then I really refined it to a pretty high degree for my work as a clairvoyant healer. That was part of what my job was, to make this so that I felt like I was really in harmony with everything. And once or twice there would be a person who I might get a no response to one of those questions, that no, it wasn't in the highest good for all, say. perhaps that might have been the answer. And so then I would ask, well, is there a way that I can change this no to a yes that is in accordance with divine will? And if I got a yes that I could, then I would proceed to ask questions like, well, is this something that has to do with the family members, the person, that, the client that's calling, or is this have something to do with, the dietary requirements or something else, just to sort of find a way in, to find a way to make that come into a harmonious feeling for the whole reading to go ahead and proceed. And that was sort of the start of my protocol, was to get that in alignment. And then, as well, I really began to work on a whole series of prayers that I use. And again, here, when I speak of the term God, I've come to peace with it myself. But for years, I had issues about whether or not, this has been portrayed in our culture as a masculine energy. And to me, it's neither masculine nor feminine. I love that description of God that Joseph Campbell gives, which is that God is a metaphor for the mystery that is beyond all categories of human thought. I think that's such a great way to look at it. And also, when I think of the word God, I think of love and truth. So I usually begin my prayers with that. I say, dear God, God of truth, God of love, always, dear God, allow me to work within your laws. Let me be at peace in my work. And thank you for bringing to me in my work those people that I can help and that are appropriate for me to help. And I honor and acknowledge your divine grace moving through me, guiding me and blessing me. And thank you for keeping me in grace. And then when I'm working with a client, I might say something more, a little further, like, thank you for the full understanding and insight to all pertinent problems regarding this person's health. And thank you for the knowing of the changes that this person can make, which are beneficial and acceptable to them, and which enable them to regain the balance of health. And I might finish off with something like, thank you for guiding me divinely, and thank you for my ability and willingness to listen to your divine guidance. And dear God, how may I serve you this day? So those are some examples of some of the prayers that I've used to help keep myself safe and to stay in accordance with the highest good and to really clear myself and get ready to do my work. Sort of a statement. They give a statement of intention to the universe for what I'm trying to accomplish. And then as well, I do a whole series of meditations before I begin my work. I clear myself. I actually imagine a white star inside my head to push out all the thoughts of others so that I'm clear inside my mind. And then I ground myself by seeing an imaginary root go down into the earth. And then I might allow my higher self to enter into my body in the form of a little blue light clicking on in every single cell of my whole body so that my intention is to be in my higher self. Then I might see a star of love come out of my heart, a beautiful golden star just bursting forth from my heart to just give the full intentions to the universe and all around me that what I'm here to do is to offer light and to be a bearer of light and to be in harmony with that light. Then I also go through my psychology. I'll say the three phrases of self-referral that I learned from Deepak Chopra, which is that I am totally fearless in the face of any and all challenges. I am neither superior nor inferior to anyone. And the third one is escaping me at the moment. It'll pop in a second.
Actually, Josephine, we do have a caller on the line that would like to speak to you. Perhaps now is a good time?
Yes, I just remembered it. I'm totally independent of the good or bad opinions of others, which is so important for us to be. And yes, please do invite a caller on. I'd love to hear from
someone. Well, maybe we can go back to those afterwards.
That sounds great.
Great. Welcome. You're on the line.
Hi. I need to know, do you have this? I've seen some of this written down, but do you have this whole process written down as a welcoming of bringing spirit into your life and giving yourself over to spirit? If you are, could you direct me to the web page or the webcam that I might have missed?
Oh, well, thank you so much. That's lovely. I don't have it anywhere on my website, but I do have it in my forthcoming book.
I see this labyrinth that you go through when you hit a dead end where you say, well, let's follow that thread. And that's helpful. That's very helpful. Thank you, Josephine. And
you're so welcome.
Yeah, I see that is this wonderful labyrinth that, you know, be tenacious. Don't give up. Keep asking questions.
That's right. Now, if I get a no, it's not in divine will for me to proceed, then I stop right there. But if it's something that is a no to, is this in the highest good for me, or is it this in the highest good for the other, or is this the highest good for all, then I will proceed a little further to see if I can get moved through. And I just ask, is there a way for me to change this no to a yes? And if I get no, then I stop right there. But there is, it's true, there is a sort of a labyrinth that I follow through to try to find my way to find out. And who knows, maybe it's a sullen teenager who doesn't believe in psychic ability who lives in the house who would be really upset if the mother who was the client went ahead with a reading without talking with him about it. And if they just talked about it, then it would be all right. If you would just say, look, this is my belief. I honor and respect your belief, but this is mine, and this is what I'm going to do. I just don't want to sneak around and do it without, you know, without letting you know that that's what I'm doing. So maybe that's all it requires. And then I can call that client up and say, you know, you might want to just, you know, we can go ahead with this, but the instruction that I received was that it was a good idea for you to have a discussion about it with your roommate or whatever, whoever it was that, you know, might be, you know, holding up a little bit of a barrier. Because the whole idea here is to find greater and greater harmony and greater oneness between us, rather than to create any more walls between each of us. So
your communication with spirit is always encouraging people to communicate with each other.
Yes, and to try to love each other. That's what it's all about, you know.
Kindness.
Find greater ways towards kindness or towards love.
Well, thank you for letting me twiddle in.
Oh, it's such a delight.
Thank you, honey.
I'm so glad
that
you called.
Okay,
all right,
bye-bye.
Bye for now. Bye.
Goodbye.
Well, that was a lovely call and a very nice point to make. Yes, it sometimes does take a little persistence to really work with it, to move through those areas where we think, oh, that's it, you know. Well, maybe it's not. Maybe there's some ways that we can. And maybe it is it. Maybe we do have to stop there. So I was about to say that another thing that I do as a part of my protocol is that I have a statement that was given to me by Jan Massey, my mentor, and it goes like this. I honor my shields of light, of protection, and those of the earth, and I acknowledge that my shields protect me against the ignorance of others. And I love that particular statement because I don't really believe in evil myself. I believe that there are people or things or ways that we have lost our way away from the light and away from love. And I think that that is an example of ignorance. And it's a terrible shame, and it can take on really some very dark, you know, images or ideas or actions. But really, I think that all that those are is just an ignorance. I think that some of our great spiritual teachings also refer to this, like, you know, God forgive them for they know not what they do. It's a beautiful example of that coming out of the Christian tradition. And I think that that's really the truth of it, that we can get lost into ignorance from time. And so if we, from time to time, we all can. And so if my shielding is to protect me against the ignorance of others, that's a lovely way of really looking at that. And also to include my shielding in with the rest of the world as well. Why not? Why not protect all of us at the same time? And that is another beautiful idea to think of, to really spread our protection beyond just ourselves. And then, as well, we have our natural shielding all the time. That's all around us all the time, and it's especially strong when we're children. Their children are so graciously and beautifully protected. But when we call upon our shields, I feel like we give them extra strength. It's like, oh, yeah, it almost redoubles their strength and energy. It's just like acknowledging anyone or anything. When we acknowledge its presence, it has more presence. And so I love that little saying about the shields. And then the last little step that I do for my clearing and my preparation for my work as an intuitive is I balance my chakra system and move from the root to the crown. And then I focus just above the crown in that white light chakra, the eighth chakra that's just above the head. And it's from there that I let my crown chakra arch through the heavens to connect with the crown chakra of my client. And then I just open myself up to just allow myself to become a hollow tube and a voice piece for information that their higher self would like for them to know. And perhaps they're just not as practiced at receiving as I've become, because I've been working on it for 30 years or so. So I've gotten pretty good at just clearing myself out and opening myself up to receive on someone else's behalf. So I just wanted to share that little process with all of you so that you could see how it is that I do my work, and hopefully it'll be able to help you to refine your own protocol and your work as well. And with that being said, perhaps this is a good time for us to do an exercise, Tony. What do you think?
Oh, yes, please. I always like an exercise.
Very good. You're always such a wonderfully willing participant. Oh, and did I ask for that slide? I might have forgotten that. This was the one by Shakti Gawain.
I don't think we've seen that one
yet. Oh, well, let's do that first then,
okay,
before we do our exercise.
Here it is.
So this is by Shakti Gawain, who is one of my favorite authors. She wrote that book, Living in the Light, and she also wrote Creative Visualization. Two excellent, excellent books for anybody who is thinking of incorporating more of their psychic ability into their home life and into their working life. And this slide says, your intuition will tell you where you need to go. It will connect you with people you should meet. It will guide you toward work that is meaningful for you, work that brings you joy, work that feels right for you. And I think that's really the key there, because when we are really in our true purpose and following our path and doing the work that we are born to do, we love it. It feels great. It feels just right, and it fills us up with joy. And that's how it felt for me to do that early work with Dr. Otto as I was getting underway. And it was really in the crucible of his office that I was able to begin to establish my protocol and to learn the different ways to keep myself safe as I journey into the mystery. So I encourage all of you to do the same. And why don't we do right now that little exercise, and I'll just lead you through that beginning part of what I do for myself, which is the centering and the grounding and bringing in the higher self and that star of love in our heart. So go ahead and take a couple of relaxed and easy breaths. And then if you're not operating machinery, feel free to join along. And if you are driving a car or something, save this for later. Know that you can do it anytime. And why don't we begin by grounding? So let's just send in, and close your eyes if you like, and just send an imaginary root down into the earth. This can be like a tree root, or like a giant carrot. It can come from the bottom of your spine or from the soles of your feet, whatever feels right to you. And just imagine that root going on down. Sometimes my root grounding looks like a monkey's tail, like a prehensile golden monkey's tail that goes right down into the magma in the center of the earth. And now let's go ahead and center ourselves now that we're grounded. And we can do that by creating a bright white light, a little one, just right in the center of our head. And let that light begin to grow and expand a little bit. Allow it to reach out, fill the entire space of our cranium, of our whole head, and then just a little bit beyond, so that our whole head is a beautiful white light. And know that this white light has just pushed out all the thoughts of others, and they safely fly back to whoever they belong to. And there's only room for your own thoughts inside of your head. And now with that, we are centered. And now I like to bring in the light of the higher self. And the way that I like to do this is to imagine a beautiful blue light entering into the crown of my head and entering into my head and igniting every single cell with a blue light every cell igniting with a blue light, filling my whole head and moving down my neck and into my shoulders and down my arms and hands and my chest and torso, abdomen, pelvis, legs, knees, lower legs, ankles and feet. Every cell ignited with the blue light of my higher self, so that my intention is really solidly centered in the highest good for me and for all. And now we have our higher self in us. And then I like to move into the star of love, which I put right into the center of my heart. And this is a beautiful golden star. And I let this starlight just burst out from the center of my heart. Beautiful and big, going in all directions, out into the universe, radiating my love, starting with myself and moving out through all of the universe, my love for everyone and everything. And with that, we have just centered ourselves in love. And so now take a couple of relaxed and easy breaths. And go ahead and bring yourself back to your normal waking consciousness. And move your body a little bit. Open your eyes. And begin to stretch. And take a little sip of water if you've got it there. I think I will. How was that for you, Tony?
Really nice. I could have stayed there for hours.
Yeah, and you can go there anytime you like.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that nice?
Very nice, yes.
Yeah, it's a lovely thing to do. And I've collected these over the years from various healers. Barbara Brennan, I think, Hands of Light was one of them. And there was another one with Maggie and Janet Garfield, I think. Mother Wit, I think, was another book. Mother Wit, I think, was the title. I don't have them here with me at the table, so I can't show you the exact titles, but I'll put them on the website.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea.
Yeah, and get them there. Our little suggested reading section that we've added. One of our listeners called in and asked that we add that onto the description on the webpage for the radio shows. So all the books that I mention are now there listed after the description for the day.
Now, Josephine, we have had a question come in from Luciana.
Okay.
And she writes, "Hi, Josephine. When I hear 'get out of your job' in my head, I also feel panic and fear. My quieter voice says, 'stick it out.' But that sounds like fear also when I know I have obligations and the mortgage to pay. I only hear those messages. The childhood training, school, church might have done too good a job on me to move forward or hear other messages. Can you help, please, Luciana?"
Very nice question, Luciana. Thank you so much for that. Yeah, so that's an example of one where we want to go in really deep and really give ourselves some time to think of it. One of the tips for me was that you said that the quieter voice said stick it out. But it would depend on kind of how those words came in. That stick it out almost sounds a little shouldish. But then get out of your job also sounds a little sort of insistent. And like you said, sort of fear-based. It feels like it's got more fear, whereas the stick it out kind of brought up the obligations and things. So this is an example of a question where we need to really go in and take a look, as our last caller was referring to about going through the labyrinth within to really clear ourselves and get very, very good about really setting our parameters for how we want to get our answers. You know, sometimes when I'm asking within, I might get an answer that is a little kind of coming out of a more flip part of myself. But if I really settle in and think, now, Josephine, let's settle down, let's really ground and center and get balanced and open. And then coming from that place of pure love, that's a good place to ask from. That gives us a lot more firm footing to be making our requests. And another great way to do it is to go out into nature, as you've probably heard me mention before, that if we just know what our question is, like, here's my question, should I stay in this job or not, or should I take a risk and quit and look for something else? And then we know what the question is, and then we just go and take ourselves out for a nice long walk and try to forget about it. And just all of a sudden we'll find, as we're out there letting that sort of internal computer run, that the answer to our question will just pop in, and we'll just know with a certainty and with a clarity. It's like sometimes we can go out and we're seeking. We don't really know what we're seeking. But if we just let ourselves just be, suddenly a clarity will come to us, and we'll know what we're supposed to do. We'll know our way. So that's what I have for you today, Luciana. I hope that's been helpful.
Well, certainly very helpful for me, Josephine.
Good.
We've had another question come in. This one is from Colleen from Dawson, PA. Now, is PA, is that Philadelphia or Pennsylvania?
I'm thinking Pennsylvania.
Okay. Anyway, Colleen writes, Josephine, when I met my husband, there was an energy above me that threw me. It said to me that this man that you are looking at will be your husband, and I felt the longness and togetherness of old age. This felt more than intuition, so what was it? We've been together for 32 years now, but it was never easy. Love your show.
Thank you, Colleen. That's great. And what a profound and deep reaching that you received there. My goodness, right when you met him. That's really quite an amazing story, especially the image that you could see it through long, long time, through many years into old age together. And, you know, our relationships and our whole life here is not necessarily like a vacation resort. It's more of a school. And when you said that there have been 32 years that have never been easy, I thought, there is relationship dharma, I've heard it called, which is the work that we've come here to do. And, of course, in a situation where things are not easy for us, that's where we have our greatest growth, the opportunities for our greatest growth, for our spiritual development. So it's through our difficulties that we learn our lessons, and it's through our hardships that we gain our strength, and it's through our tears that we find our way into love. So I really admire you for taking this on as your life project, because it is a big one. I've heard that relationship dharma is some of the hardest spiritual growth work that there is. And I feel so very blessed. I happened to have pulled the hooray card in that department. I got a beautiful marriage with a wonderful husband. But I do think that he and I have danced before in many other lifetimes. And I actually think that, you know, I've murdered Frank in a past life, and Frank has murdered me, and we've raised giggles of children together, and we've lost some, and we've abandoned each other with a bunch of kids and left each other stranded high and low, and we've done all sorts of things. We've danced round and around the relationship situation. And I think that this time we just came in and said, you know what, why don't we just do the two of us and make it kind of easy and fun. What a choice. So, you know, I've heard it said that we're all here experiencing the many ways of God knowing God. And so there will be other opportunities that you'll have undoubtedly, Colleen, with this beautiful man who you've chosen and who has chosen you and who you've danced through this beautiful long life together, even though you've stepped on each other's feet a few times in that dance. It's all right. There will probably be other times ahead, either in this lifetime or in other lifetimes, where, you know, you'll perhaps make a different choice in a different situation, different setup. But I think that, you know, Frank and I, we came in at the same time in the same city. We were almost born in the same hospital together. There was no mistake. I think that, you know, nature kept us apart from each other. Even though we rode bicycles in each other's neighborhoods, we didn't meet until we reached the lusty age of 16 and were ready to, you know, really find somebody. And there he was. And, you know, it's just amazing how we get together with our spouses in our lives. And what a great, strong psychic impression that you had that brought you to this man. And what a wonderful thing that has been for you, I'm sure, even though not easy. I'm sure it has been your greatest growth.
Josephine, just that little bit of Colleen's question where she said, you know, it felt more than intuition. So what is it? I mean, do you think that, you know, that sense of the energy above and then through me, would you call that intuition, or would you refer to that as something else?
Well, you know, the word intuition and the word psychic ability, those are so interchanged. Although intuition is usually referred to and sort of felt as being a little bit softer and not so strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that this came through a little more like in the lines of how we refer to psychic ability, really strong and powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it sounds like more to me, a little more like a psychic flash or a a foreknowing, or you know, sometimes we just know our destiny. It's just there before us. This happens a lot with artists and people who are in the creative arts. They just will have this sudden, really strong, passionate pull towards something. And that, I think, is very much an inspiration from on high. And I think that this sounds to me, yours was very much a psychic hit, a psychic clear message that came through, as if it just came down into you like that. Quite something.
Excellent. Thank you, Josephine.
Yes. Thank you, Tony. So I'd like to speak a little bit about our spiritual agreement that we always start our show with. As I've mentioned each time, that this was a gift from my mentor, Jana Massey. And in this agreement, and this really does set our intention for our work as psychics, and also she encouraged us to use it in our day-to-day relationships. And, for instance, in your situation, Colleen, with your husband, though your husband may or may not be willing to make this agreement with you, you can always agree with his higher self aspect and ask that part of him to enter into this agreement with you. And this is an agreement that I think is a good one for us to make in all of our relationships if the parties are willing, and we can make it also on a psychic level too. If it's just like we can communicate with deceased loved ones, if they don't happen to be present, we can go ahead and connect with them and make agreements of this nature, or end agreements that we may have had with who are on the other side. We might have entered into agreements with them while they were living and we've moved on. But this spiritual agreement, you know, together we acknowledge that everything that we think, that we say, and that we do at this time will be of the highest good. What a beautiful way to start in a relationship, a great way to hold that energy. And together we ask for truth, the understanding of that truth, and the wisdom to use it in our lives. That sets such a strong and powerful intention, and our thoughts are so creative and they are so powerful that having something like this as the energetic framework or as a part of the protocol is a really great idea. We are so co-creative. We really do create things together. And, oh, that's right, we have that other slide. Tony, maybe you can show that one. This is by Florence Scovel Shinn, who was an American artist and a book illustrator and a spiritual teacher. And she said, intuition is a spiritual faculty and does not explain, but simply points the way. Isn't that great?
So no explanation. So, for example, when in Colleen's situation, it was just something that was pointing the way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a spiritual faculty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I was thinking of going on to give an example of some of my sample readings. Do you think we have time for that, Tony?
Well, not much.
Yeah, well, maybe one of the things that I'll talk about instead, and perhaps I'll be able to save that for another time. But I'll talk about my sort of yes and no response. So the first thing that I like to do when I'm teaching someone how to get a yes and no response is to just listen inside their belly. So if you were to ask yourself, I'll give an example. Is my name Josephine? Yeah, I get a nice, easy, relaxed breath and it feels just right. And then if I ask myself, is my name Penelope? Well, I get a kind of a tightening, a little bit of a narrowing down in my rib cage and a slight drop in my diaphragm. And it's like, no, we're getting back to that Goldilocks principle. Does it feel just right? Is it too big? Is it too small? Or is it just right? Well, Josephine is just right, but Penelope doesn't quite fit. My name is not Penelope. So that's sort of the way that I begin.
So it's very much like, you know, I imagine how a lie detector works then, is it?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much, probably. That's a great point. And then I've taken it a little further so that I have, just like I have those muscles that work in my belly, I have muscles that can work similarly in my cheek, the cheeks of my face, my right cheek and my left cheek. So if I was to bend my head over to the right, maybe lean my body over to the right, I feel a sort of a slight heaviness and a shifting of the tissues in my cheek. It's very subtle, but it's there nonetheless. And then if I'm to lean my head over to the left, I would similarly feel a slight shifting in the muscles of my cheek. And I use this as a yes and no response. So when I'm centered and grounded and I've got my higher self inside of me and I have honored my shields of light and gone through my psychology and balanced myself and gotten to the place where I'm trusting myself and I'm in the present moment and I've run my chakras, and then I'm seated in my, you know, eighth chakra above my head, the white light chakra of the highest good. From that point, if I ask if something is a yes or a no, I'll just allow those cheeks to kind of, sitting upright, straight upright, I'll just allow those cheeks to just give me an answer. It's sort of like muscle testing, like applied kinesiology, where people will use an arm to see if somebody is strong when they hold, you know, a banana or a CD or something next to their body to see if it's a good fit for their body or not. Or it can be used like the people will use the fingers. They'll pinch the middle finger and the thumb together and then see if that's strong or if that's weak, if they can open it easily or if it stays closed. It's similar to that kind of muscle testing, but mm-hmm. I just use it in my cheeks, and I call it my cheek technique. And so that's one of the ways that I use to get yes or no examples. And then I was also going to talk about my little letting go prayer, but perhaps we don't have
time. I think maybe that's going to have to wait till
okay.
next week.
All right, then. Maybe we can show that last slide.
Oh, certainly.
Okay, that's good. Let's try that. All right, so this is by Jonas Salk. And he has some of the greatest quotes on intuition and what a powerful man he was and how much he changed our world. And this one says, "It is always with excitement that I wake up in the morning wondering what my intuition will toss up to me. Like gifts from the sea, I work with it and rely on it. It is my partner."
Wow, that's really something, isn't it?
Isn't that great?
Yeah,
and
it's really inspiring.
Truly was, you know, brought so much to our world with his mm-hmm. With his good work.
What a way to look at life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Look at every day.
Yeah, it's really great.
Okay, so perhaps now I should just say that the link to next week's show can be found on Josephine's website at stepintomagic.com. Simply click on the top menu for radio. And if you've enjoyed tonight's show, we really hope that you will tell your friends. Now, there's just one point I just wanted to squeeze in. It's come to our attention that some of our listeners are unable to access fast forward, rewind, and pause while listening to replays of the show. And that's because some browsers, including Chrome and Safari, don't appear to support this function. However, Firefox does. And if you don't have Firefox, it's really easy to download. You just go to Mozilla, mozilla.org. And once you've downloaded that, you just go to the radio page and click on this week's show. And then if you click where it says click here to listen, if you're using a Mac or PC, you'll then see view presentation with audio. You click there. And that will be job done. If you're listening via your iPad or iPhone, you will need to click on the word download, which is also written in blue. And this will give you access to the fast forward, pause, and rewind buttons that are so handy. If you had problems following that, just get in touch with me and I'll explain it a little bit more slowly. So, Josephine, are there any parting words that you'd like to say?
Well, yes, there are. And thank you so much for that, Tony. I think that's going to help for a lot of people. So one of the things that I love about being a working psychic is that spirit always knows best. Sometimes I have a lot of calls for my clairvoyant healing services, and when the calls are pouring in, Frank will often comment, "Oh, the doctor is in." Other times I only get a few calls a week. And when that happens, I know it's because my life is going to be really full attending to other things that truly need my attention. It's wonderful to know that I can just go with the flow and trust divine arrangement to take care of my schedule book for me, which it absolutely does. I'd like to thank all of you for listening this evening, and I really hope that all of our shows inspire you to trust your own intuition and let it guide you in your lives. It's a wonderful way to live. And as Tony said, if you liked the show, please tell your friends. You're welcome to share it on Facebook or send me an email at my website, and I'll send you an email that you can share. And all of my contacts, you know, from my entire 30-year career have all been by word of mouth, and it's served me very well all this time. So if you've liked what you've heard, help me spread the word and tell your friends. So thank you very much. And in closing, I'd like to share this little blessing with you all. It goes like this. As our gifts are given in love, they are received in love, and we honor their wise use and their increase for all concerned. And so it is.
Thank you so much for that, Josephine. As always, it's been a true pleasure talking with you this evening, and I trust that everyone listening has learned lots about using psychic skills at home and in the workplace. This has been show number PSY-4.14.
Tony and I wish you all insight, wisdom, and magic as you pursue the journey of inner knowing. I hold you all in light and in love. And thank you for listening. This is Josephine Lang. Until next week, good night.